You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Saturday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack, and for this edition, I'm joined by Gary Capewell. Gary, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Jack, in good form. Not one of the high-key Saturdays of the jumping campaign, I think it's fair to say. The Lanzarote hurdle, probably one of the feature race, along with the classic chase. I forgot there's actually a couple of other graded races in there as well. Some fair enough handicaps and some okay-ish stuff at Lingfield. There's a Class 2 and a Class 3 on their card amid the usual stuff. And Weatherby, a couple of Class 2s or Class 2 and a Class 3.
It's not a bad Saturday. It's an ITV4 kind of Saturday, would you say?
ITV4 kind of Saturday is a perfect way of describing it.
Excellent. Obviously, we've got racing from Kempton, as Gary mentioned. We'll have a look at the Lanzarote hurdle. But the news rumbles on about Kempton in the Racing Post.
The last Lanzarote. The third last or fourth last Lanzarote hurdle they have.
It certainly will. But Ruby Walsh has come out and said that he thinks that the plans to ditch Kempton will benefit racing long term. Do you think he's in the minority there?
I think he probably is in the minority. I noticed that John Ferguson was interviewed at Catterick, wasn't he, yesterday, and he was of the opinion that the money would be going back into racing. I have my doubts, I must admit, but if you're a company that's a non-profitable organisation and you're making a loss of £115 million, I think that was the figure quoted, wasn't it? Simon Balthazar-Gate of the Jockey Club, or Jockey Club Racecourses, had said, then you need to raise funds. And this is one way of doing it, but it'll be interesting to see the plans which happen with Sandown and what may happen there, because it is badly in need of a bit of restoration, that grandstand there, and it's not the most aesthetically pleasing on the eye, it has to be said. So it'll be interesting to see what plans happen. There's a long way to go yet. There's planning permission and all kinds of other things that invariably get in the way of these things, and things can take time, and we'll see what happens. I think it's a shame myself, but
lots of hoops to jump through before we get anywhere near. Also interesting that Alan King, that's the other quote that I pulled out of the Racing Post this morning. He says that he hopes that Ascot would have become the home of racing as opposed to Newmarket and Sandown, and he hopes that Ascot gets more out of Kempton closing.
Well, somewhere's going to have to, because Sandown aren't going to be able to host all of them. You can't suddenly magically make the ground dry up there. Those fixtures will have to go somewhere. They can't all go to Sandown, because they'll have their own meetings there before they'll have the Tingle Creek. Then they'll have, obviously, the two Christmas meetings, the Tolworth Hurdle the week after. The week after will be the Lanzarote again. And I think Sandown, they've got all their military races as well to come as well. So there'll be plenty going on. I'd be surprised if they can take them all. It may well mean that we get a few more routed up north, perhaps. Maybe, obviously, Carlisle's part of Jocko Labrea's courses. Maybe a few of the fixtures could go there. It'll be fascinating to see. Obviously, this is very sort of much... it's not breaking news now, is it? But it's still new news, almost, if you like. And until we learn of further plans, we'll see what happens. But the politicians aren't going to be too keen to let it happen. That is for sure. The local politicians of the Spelthorne Borough Council, and there's obviously that letter from the councillor there on page 4 of today's Racing Post. So,
like you were saying, the danger of having it all at Sandown is all it takes is one particularly soggy December and January.
Well, I mean, a wet autumn would be enough, because that hurdles course at Sandown obviously doubles up as the flat course during the summer, and we can see what effect that can have at tracks like Leicester. When we saw the racing there yesterday, the huge difference in, or early on in the season, the huge difference in ground. We'll watch this space. There's a lot of water to flow onto the bridge before anything happens yet.
Certainly is. And there's a lot more racing podcasts that will inevitably discuss it as well.
I'm sure there will be.
There's
sure
plenty there more be. To say. Shall we get on with Saturday's racing?
Let's
do it. We'll start at Warwick then. We're going to look at the 3 o'clock shortly, but we're going to go to the 2:25 first. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle. Plenty in this field, actually. 15 at the moment.
Yeah, you need to finish in the first six to be getting into the Potemps qualifier. not sure this is a particularly strong renewal of this race, to be perfectly honest. There's some interesting improving horses. Clondor Cian looks tailor-made for the final of this race. He won at Cheltenham at the open meeting on his seasonal return, and he battled all the way to the line. I don't think that was a qualifier, though. No, this is. So getting in the first six or whatever it is would be enough to see him qualify for the final. So he very much has to be respected, I think. But carrying top weight in the likely conditions won't be easy, it has to be said. There's plenty of others you can give chances to. Obviously, Cogri won at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. He is towards the top of the weights as well, though. Barney Dawn was brought down in that beginner's chase at Twincanton when last seen. Don't think chasing has really suited him. He'll be happier back over hurdles last year's Imperial Cup winner. The other two that appeal most are the two lightly raced horses. Lochdur Leader for the very much underrated trainer Tom Lacey. This horse was second at Kempton in a novice hurdle on his seasonal return. Then won at Bangor, beat Dingo Dollar convincingly at the beginning of November. And he won well at Doncaster after that. Won very easily as well, winning by eight lengths on that occasion, off top weight. So he's very much of the very much improving. Minstrel's Gallery, I could give a squeak to. And the other lightly raced one is Scotchtown, of course, who makes his handicap debut. Was beaten at odds on just before Christmas at Bangor behind Back to the Thatch, but didn't think that was a particularly bad bit of form. So he has to be given a chance as well. But no, I'm quite happy with Lochdur Leader. We should also mention Dan Emmett, who's a previous Corson distance winner, but has to bounce back having fallen on his two most recent outings. So I don't think it's the strongest some of the recent renewals. So Lochdur Leader is very much the young, improving horse, and he will be the pick in the 2.25.
Yeah, has a feel of a slight slog, 3 miles and 2 furlongs, and soft, heavy in places, the forecast at the moment.
Yeah, with obviously, I think they've got the Cuthers down there, but even still, withstanding that, considering the forecast, etc., it might well be quite hard work there. It often is at this meeting, but it's usually heavier ground.
Might be a tough one for all of the horses involved there. That's the 2.25 at Warwick. We move on to the 3 o'clock. This one is the Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle, Grade 2. 2 miles and 5 furlongs is the distance on this one. Obviously, once again, it's going to be over soft, heavy in places. And this is a much smaller field, though.
Yeah, just the 7 for this. It can often be quite a small field, this race. Won by Thomas Hobson. I think Willie Wallins might have won this a couple of times in recent years. He certainly obviously won it last year. Get on the Jaeger for Dan Skelton is officially the joint highest rated in the lineup, along with Ballyhill. Ballyhill ridden by William Twiston Davis, finished third at Kempton in a Class 2 novice event behind Elgin on Boxing Day when last seen. Prior to that, had finished fourth at Cheltenham, and earlier on in the season had been winning at Haydock and Ludlow. Hereford and Ludlow, rather, I should say. But the ground was a bit better then. Both those victories have come in good ground. So how we'll handle conditions, I'm not just sure. Get on the Jaeger, who we mentioned for the Skelton team, former point-to-pointer, a winner at Market Raisin in Maiden Company on racecourse debut over on good ground, was then second at Newcastle in the French First Novice Hurdle, was beaten favourite on that occasion as well, beaten 4.5 lengths. Jordi Deschamps arrives in the race in good form as well. He was second at Niebury behind Thalingi when last seen. That was in a handicap hurdle on New Year's Eve. Prior to that, he'd won at Chepstow, Aintree, and Chepstow again. But crucially, he's got some form on heavy ground at Foss Last towards the back end of last season. So that's a huge positive for him. Got to mention the Irish raider, Peregrine Run, who's another who comes here on a bit of a roll. He's run 4 this season. Won at Down Royal back in August, won the Maiden Hurdle there, then won a handicap at Goran Park off a mark of 119. Won a listed contest at Limerick in October off 100. Well, didn't matter the mark, it was a listed race. And then won at Cheltenham, of course. Grade 2 contest there, beating Holston at the Open meeting. Has got form on yielding ground, but most of the runs, best ones, have come with when the ground was a little bit better. So that would concern me with that one. Gabri for Evan Williams, a winner at Foss Lass in soft ground on his debut for the yard back in November. Won by 3 lengths on that occasion as well, making pretty much just about all the running. He's interesting. So, but no, I think I'll go for the Curtis runner here, Jordi Deschamps. As I say, beaten favourite last time out, but has got some good form with plenty of cut to the ground, and that could prove to be crucial.
Okay, yeah, Jordi Deschamps, the selection for Gary in that one, the 3 o'clock from Warwick. Right, we move on to Kempton. You're probably sick of hearing the word, but we're going to look at two races from there. The Lanzarote Hurdle coming up very shortly. But first of all, the 2:05 race, which is a listed race, and there's just 4 going here.
Yeah, not a big field at all, is it, for this listed contest? And there's only 3 in the race last year. I think the outsider of the 3 won that day. Yeah, the highest rated in the field is obviously Bravato Voltat. Was 3rd in the old Roan chase on his seasonal return. The last twice, obviously, he's been in Grade 2 and Grade 1 company. He was 5th at Ascot in the Stellar Artois chase, and last of 6 in the Tingle Creek. Needs to obviously bounce back from that. Quite by chance, won at Ascot in October, was 4th at Cheltenham after that, behind Frodon in that big the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. Between those two runs, he'd obviously chased Sada Grugium in a handicap. And he was 6th at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, beaten a fair way in the end, but small field, anything could happen. Vanitur isn't a horse that I really trust. 3rd at Ascot and Cheltenham. This campaign has been a beaten favourite on both those occasions, so that would put me off. I'd go for Actival here. First run for Neil Mulholland was just as good as Vanitur over hurdles. Hasn't had as many goes as him over fences. Formerly trained by Harry Fry, of course, this horse hasn't been seen for a while. Was 3rd at Newbury when last seen. He'd won at Exeter in pretty testing conditions. Won a beginner's chase there, beating Oscar Sunset when he was led from the front, and it could get tactical. This obviously couldn't it. His chasing debut was quite encouraging. He was 2nd at Newbury behind 3 Musketeers. On his chasing debut. Richard Johnson's been booked to ride, so that's obviously a plus. He just comes there on his seasonal debut, hopefully with a little bit more improvement to come. So Actival the pick in the 2:05.
Okay, Actival then the selection in the 2:05, when we move on to the Lanzarote Hurdle. Again, a listed race. This is more like it, isn't it? 14 runners here.
Yeah, this is a good bit better, isn't it? It's an open race. Does Your Dog Bite is obviously unbeaten. 3-3 over hurdles. A winner here on Boxing Day. That was a 15-runner race as well. It's gone up £6 for that success, but obviously has obvious claims. Juleo, one of the horses that John Ferguson, they obviously sold a lot of them, but he actually bought this horse and he's kept him in training. He won at Lingfield in pretty bad ground in December. Alex Ferguson claims 7 off his back. He's quite interesting. Benny's King towards the bottom. Another one that's interesting for a yard that have got a good record in this race. Venetia Williams won this contest last year. Benny's King was a winner at Uttoxeter on New Year's Eve. Represents, as I say, last year's winning stable as well. The others to consider include the likes of Lord of the Island, who was going well at Exeter when falling there the other day. Hasn't been with this yard too long. Will of the West, 3rd at Cheltenham in October. Possibly didn't get home the last day. Goes back down in trip, which will help, especially around a tight track. Fountain's Windfall won at Fontwell when last seen back in May. Has been off a while. Could have more to come, but be interesting to see how he gets on. Chesterfield, another interesting runner. Another one that was dispersed from the John Ferguson team. Didn't run too badly at Ascot in the big handicap hurdle there before Christmas goes up in trip. I think that'll probably suit. So that's interesting too. The class act is obviously Old Guard, but he just hasn't looked the same sort of horse for a while now. But he goes up in trip, which is interesting. And Modus, likewise, another one that you can give some sort of a chance to. And Ditto Colandre, who won last time out. But I'm going to take a chance with one here. First run for Dan Skelton, Sam Red. Formerly trained in Ireland, was fourth on his chasing debut at Killarney when last seen. Obviously, that was back in May. Got some okay form in fair handicaps prior to that. He's obviously had issues, this horse, because if you look at his recent runs, they've all come from breaks, really. He did manage to win at Navan on just his second start under rules back in March 2015. Obviously, that's nearly 2 years ago now. He's only had five runs since then. He'd been favoured on his chasing debut. They obviously expected a bit more from him. He ran in some decent races in Ireland, fair enough handicaps, and he was always a shortish price and was never really beaten too far. So I'm sure he won't be completely overlooked in the market. I just think he's a fascinating runner. Be interesting to see how he is on his first run for Team Skelton, but hopefully at likely fairish odds, I will chance him. So Sam Red, the pick in the 240 at Kempton.
Yeah, looking like he might at the moment go off perhaps at double figures, but we'll wait and see. All could change on Saturday before the race. That's the Lanzarote hurdle, the final race we're going to look at on today's podcast, the 240 at Kempton. Gary, thank you very much. Good luck with all your selections for this weekend, and we will see you soon here on the Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.